Monica. She responds, the garbled sounds making me smile. She is so far gone, she can't even think of any words. This brilliant doctor is so worked up in a sexual frenzy that she's speechless. And it's because of me. I made her this way. My balls draw up, and I know I won't be able to hold off much longer. Her pussy begins to flutter around me, a telltale sign that she is close. I roll my hips with every thrust, determined to stimulate all those pleasure points inside her. My thumb continues to stimulate her crease, rubbing over her pucker and pushing in slightly, just enough to make her writhe and wriggle against me. When she comes, I feel it. Her core clenches around my cock, and it's sweet relief to let go of my control. My thrusts become less coordinated as I chase my orgasm. I come so hard inside Monica, bare, no condom, just me spilling into her. My dick pulses and waves of pleasure rob me of any other sensation than being inside Monica, coming inside Monica. My movements slow, but I continue to push my throbbing cock in and out, shuddering with each pulse of my orgasm. I bury myself deep inside her, hating the idea of leaving her body and losing this physical connection. Spent and sated, I lean forward and bend over her body to hug her from behind. She's boneless, lying on the desk with her head turned to the side. I kiss everything I can reach, her cheek, her temple, her ear, her neck. I want to worship every part of this woman. I lean down to reach her lips and capture them in a wet kiss. That was amazing, I whisper in her ear. She hums. I love being inside you, I tell her. I don't ever want to leave. She agrees. I chuckle softly. You okay? My woman is well fucked and satisfied. While I would love to stay buried in her forever, my cock is softening and we are in her office. Let's get cleaned up, baby.
Okay,
she sighs. Reluctantly, I stand and slowly pull out. A box of tissues is conveniently sitting on the corner of her desk, so I grab a couple to wipe Monica clean. Her pussy is deep pink, and just as I start to wipe her up, my cum starts to drip out of her opening. Fucking hell. My dick starts to stir at the sight. I came inside of her. The sight triggers a primal part of me, and I want to come all over her body. Mark her as mine. I finish wiping her up and help her stand. It's amazing that all we have to do is pull up our pants, and it looks like nothing ever happened. We stand, facing each other with matching stupid grins. Did I get it right? I ask her.
What?
Your dream. Was it as good as your dream? She blushes, which is seriously cute.
Even better.
I pull her into me, hugging her close, our bodies fitting together so well. We stay like this, her leaning into me, me resting my chin on her head, and breathe together for several minutes. Then her stomach starts to rumble.
Sorry.
She clutches her stomach, embarrassed. You didn't eat dinner?
This woman never feeds herself. I planned to grab something from the cafeteria, but then got sidetracked with work,
she mumbles sleepily. Can I feed you at my place?
Yes.
Chapter 14. I only have so much willpower. Monica. Lately, it's a rare day that I don't see Max at all, but that's the case today. It's my day off, and we don't have plans tonight. So, I'm home, and instead of appreciating time away from my busy life, I don't know what to do with myself. My workout is done, my house is clean, courtesy of my housekeeper, and my refrigerator is stocked, also courtesy of my housekeeper. As I'm debating whether to take a bath or read a book, my cell phone alerts me to a new text. Quinn. Hey, chica. Me. Hey, you. Quinn. What are you doing? Me. Not much, actually. What's up? Quinn. You're coming out with me. Me. I am? Quinn. Yes, you're coming out with me or I'm coming to get you. Me. Okay. We pick a time and place, and I'm relieved to have something to do. As I get ready, I see signs of Max all over my house. His soap in my shower, his toothbrush in the holder on my bathroom sink, his clothes in my closet. Slowly, as he started staying over at my place more nights than not, he started leaving things here for convenience, and I like seeing little pieces of his life intertwined with mine. I like having him in my life, more than I ever thought I would. What started out as pure lust and physical attraction has blossomed into more. I want more. I'm just afraid of how to get from this point to something more serious. The thought of everyone at work finding out about us still gives me anxiety. I don't even know how to broach the topic. Who do I tell? What do I say? Hi, Dr. Finley. Just wanted to let you know I'm dating one of the nurses in the ER. Don't worry, we're both conducting ourselves in a professional manner at work, except that one time he fucked me on top of my desk, but it's okay. We weren't officially on the clock that night. I sigh. Then there's introducing Max to my father, which is likely going to happen at the fundraiser tomorrow. I panic at the thought of what he might say to Max. What will he say to me? I want to protect Max from his condescension. Other things worry me too, like money. We come from very different financial backgrounds, but I don't care how much money he makes. I'm so proud of him for being the first person in his family to graduate from college, even if it took him longer than most. But I wonder if he cares that I make more money than him. I also have a large sum that was left to me when my mom and her parents passed away. I could have easily paid for Max's new car up front, and I wanted to, but I knew that offer would not have been received well, especially when we were in front of Logan at the car dealership. Honestly, if the shoe were on the other foot and he was the one that had more money, I wouldn't want him to buy me a car either. That's way too much for this stage of our relationship. But what if we continue? What if we move in together? Would he be okay with me paying the majority of our expenses? And now I have a headache. I finish getting dressed, apply light makeup, and leave to meet up with Quinn. We haven't hung out in so long, and I can't wait to see her. When I walk into Piazza, I spot her wild red hair right away. Monica! She launches herself at me. I hug her tight, grateful that we are still friends. Hi, Quinn. She pulls back to look at me, holding me at arm's length. I'm wearing a pink sundress with a black sweater. Nothing particularly fancy, but she raises her eyebrows. You look amazing. Oh, stop it. We sit at the booth and give the server our order. I'm serious. You're glowing, she compliments. Thank you. You look amazing, too. Quinn is effortlessly gorgeous. I used to envy this about her. Maybe I still do. She wears red hair, fair skin, and freckles better than most. Her brown eyes are warm, and they twinkle at me. Thank you, babe, but I need to hear all about you. What's going on with your boy toy? I blush. He's not my boy toy, Quinn. Damn, so you aren't having all kinds of hot sex with the young stud from the club? Her face falls. I clear my throat. You have such a way with words. Oh, don't be so proper. I need details. She leans forward, props her elbows on the table, and rests her head in her hands, eagerly awaiting my response. Okay, yes, I'm seeing Max. You're seeing him? She blinks. I need more than that. Is he banging you or what? She would get along so well with Charlie. I laugh at that thought. Yes, Quinn, I'm having hot sex with him. Is that what you want to hear? The server comes up with our drinks just as the words leave my mouth. He places our drinks on the table and leaves without a word, and I'm sure my face is tomato red right now. She cackles at my discomfort. Hallelujah! I was afraid you were going to pass up this chance after we talked. Does he push all your buttons? He's amazing, Quinn. Really amazing. I tell her about working with him, how great he is with the patients like Mrs. Harvey, how thoughtful he is when he leaves me a sandwich, knowing I don't usually have time to eat at work. About our salsa dancing on Thursday nights and volunteering at the shelter together. I think I talk for 15 minutes straight. She sits back. Oh, fuck. You're not just banging him. You're in love with him. No, I'm not in love with him, I deny. In love? I am not in love with Max. Not yet. It sure sounds like you were. You just had nonstop verbal diarrhea about how amazing he is and not one detail about the size of his penis. I'd say you're more than just in lust with him. Well, I really like him. I shrug. It sounds hollow, even to my own ears. She raises one eyebrow, skeptically. You like him? I sigh. Yes, I really like him, I say firmly, trying to convince myself. Well, that's great. I'm happy you found someone, Monica. When do I get to meet him? Oh, I don't know about that. I can't imagine what embarrassing things Quinn would say to Max. What? Why? You have too large of a stockpile of embarrassing facts about me. Oh, come on, she says. I promise I'll be good. What's he doing tonight? I don't know. He spent the day with his mom. Wow, he's amazing and takes care of his mom. Does he have a brother? I laugh. No, he has two sisters, I tell her. Let me see a picture of him. You're shit with social media. You never post anything, she complains. I don't have time for social media. Besides, I have to be careful with what I post because work doesn't know we're seeing each other yet. I hand her my phone so she can scroll through some of the pictures we've taken lately. Holy fuck. This is Max? She holds up my phone, displaying a selfie we took the other night. He's behind me, chin resting on the top of my head, and we're both grinning down at the camera like lovesick fools. Then she scrolls to the next one. Shit, I forgot I took that picture. Max is in my bed, hair a mess from my hands, lips swollen from kissing me, eyes blissed out from the orgasm I gave him. He's shirtless, gorgeous chest and tattoos on display. He's staring at the camera with sex in his eyes. I blush. Hey, you weren't supposed to see that one. I reach for my phone. You were holding out on me. This should have been the first picture you showed me. He is fucking hot. I think I just had an orgasm from looking at this picture. He's definitely gorgeous. I agree. She swipes her fingers across my phone, and it chirps 1 second later. What are you doing on there? I reach for my phone again, but she holds it out of reach. It chirps a second time, and she hands it back, looking satisfied with herself. I look at my phone and see a text conversation with Max open. Me. Hey, Max, this is Monica's friend Quinn. Me. I've heard so many good things about you that I think she's making you up. Want to hang out with us tonight and prove to me you're real? Max. Hi, Quinn. Happy to provide proof of my existence. What are you guys up to? Me. We're at Piazza now, but I'm dragging Monica to Savor, the bar next door, once we finish eating. Meet us in 1 hour? Max. Will do. I glare up at Quinn. I don't even know what to say. Quinn always manages to get her way. She smiles innocently back at me, unaffected by my glare. Me. Hey, it's me. Sorry, Quinn stole my phone. You don't have to come out tonight if you had other plans. Max. It's okay. I was just leaving my mom's house. Max. Unless you would rather I not come? Me. No, it's not that. I'd like for you to meet my friend. Me. But be warned. She has no filter. Max. No worries. She can't be worse than Charlie. Me. See you in a bit. I sigh. Okay, you're going to meet Max. I wish I'd known we were going to save her. I'm not really dressed for a bar. Babe, it's a bar. There's no dress code. I'm in jeans and a t-shirt. Who cares? I guess. Tell me about you. Any boy toys in your life? Quinn and I are the same age. Though we are both single now, she got married really young to her college boyfriend and went through a pretty nasty divorce last year. Since then, she is anti-relationship. She just wants to have sex. Lots and lots of sex. You know it. Getting divorced was the best thing that ever happened to me. Now I am footloose and fancy free. Have you written into He Who Shall Not Be Named? Even though she appears to be over it, saying Reed's name out loud sometimes triggers a mood swing. No, I have not. Last I heard, he moved that slut bag whore into our house. Now she could clean up after his bullshit. She huffs. Looks like referring to him at all is still a bad idea. Reed cheated on Quinn. When she caught them in the middle of having sex, Quinn packed a bag, left their house, and never went back. She couldn't handle being in that house after that. Luckily, they didn't have any kids together, so she has no connection to him anymore. So, tell me about your latest conquest. I need to change the topic, quick. She smiles mischievously. I have two words. Prince Albert. What? He had his penis pierced? Yep, you have no idea how amazing it is, she says. Really, I wouldn't know what to do with that thing. Monica, you're a doctor for crying out loud. So what? I have never, in all my years of practice, seen a pierced penis. Well, maybe you should talk Max into getting one. It adds some extra stimulation and helps reach all the right places. She sighs happily. Max doesn't have any trouble on his own. Besides, I'd be afraid of that extra hardware, I admit. She launches into the pros and cons and then admits to wanting to get pierced herself. Time passes quickly as we move from one topic to the next and catch up on life. Quinn and I are so different. She's an artist and makes a great living selling her paintings at a gallery downtown, but I really treasure our friendship. She is one of the few people I feel comfortable being completely myself around. We finish dinner, and I admit I'm glad Max is joining us soon. At that thought, my cell chirps from my purse. Max, Charlie wanted to come with me tonight. Is that cool? Me, of course. Max, okay, see you in 10 minutes. Now it's going to be me, Max, Charlie, and Quinn. This should be interesting.
Max. I was pleasantly surprised to get the text from Monica's friend Quinn earlier. After helping my mom do various things around her house, I was planning to head home and relax for the night. But the thought of being at my apartment alone left me feeling like something was missing. Then I realized Monica's house feels more like home than my apartment does. I was about to text her to see if I could head to her place instead when the texts from Quinn came through. Then, just as soon as I agreed to meet up with Monica and Quinn, Charlie texted me, asking to meet up. I went home, showered and changed, then headed over to Charlie's house. My new Honda Civic is awesome. It feels great to be able to pick up Monica and my friends instead of them always driving me around. Work is so close to where I live that I still like to ride my bike when the weather is nice, but having a car is such a huge accomplishment. It makes me feel less like a broke joke and more like a successful adult. Charlie did not end up buying Monica's Porsche. I told him he could make her an offer, and when he researched a fair price for her exact model, he couldn't afford it. I was relieved it didn't happen. She ended up trading in her car for a Toyota Prius, and though Charlie couldn't believe his ears, the new car suits her better than the Porsche did. Nice car, dude, Charlie greets as he gets in on the passenger side. This is the first he's seen it. It's white with gray interior and has that new car smell. Thanks, man. What's up? Just bored? How's your mom? Charlie knows my mom and sisters very well. She's doing okay, I guess. She's still working at the bakery in the morning, then goes to clean houses after that. I just wish she didn't have to work so hard to make ends meet. The financial difference between my family and Monica's family is vast. As a single mom, she's always held at least 2 jobs at a time. She always regretted not having a college education, as it severely limited what kinds of jobs she can get, and she pushed me and my sisters to go to college so we could have an easier life than she does. I'm so proud of my mom, and how hard she works to take care of everything. But I haven't told Monica she's a housekeeper. I think Monica might have a housekeeper herself, and I don't want to know if that would make a difference in the way she sees me.
What about Ella and Chloe? What are they up to? Charlie asks.
Ella is working at a graphic design firm in New York City. Can't believe she's done with college and living so far away. Oh, shit. Good for her. I'll have to visit her next time I'm there. I haven't seen her place yet, but she's so excited about it. Chloe's in her second year of college. I think she wants to be an accountant.
An accountant? Ugh.
I know. Definitely not for me, but she likes it. So I'm happy she found what she likes. I'm so proud of my sisters.
And how's the lovely Dr. Morgan?
Charlie gives me a wicked grin. She's good. It would be nice if you abstained from groping her tonight. Her friend will be there too. Her name is Quinn.
Oh, yeah? Is she hot?
Charlie asks. No idea. This will be the first time I meet her. It makes me feel good to meet one of Monica's friends tonight. Like our relationship is becoming more real and less hidden. But please don't hit on her friend. I don't want things to be awkward if you fuck her and never call her again.
Seriously?
You just told me I can't fuck her friend. Now I already want to fuck her friend because you made her forbidden, and I don't even know what she looks like.
Asshole. Keep your dick in your pants. All right, all right.
I'll try to behave, he concedes. We get to Savor, park the car, and head inside, where the sight of Monica makes my cock twitch. She's wearing a sundress again. I love her dresses. This one is pink and shows off her curves. I wonder if she's wearing any underwear tonight, and the thought makes my cock start to swell. As she talks with her friend, she throws her head back and laughs. She looks so feminine and young, so vibrant and happy. I wish I could take a picture. Her shoulders lift up with her full belly laugh, and one of the straps of her dress falls off one shoulder. The man sitting next to her at the bar stares with interest. As I look around the bar, I see more than a few men eyeing Monica and her friend. My feet carry me toward her with purpose. When I'm behind her, I kiss her shoulder and fix the strap of her dress. She turns around quickly and smiles when she sees me. Hey, baby.
Max, hi.
She meets my lips in a sweet, chaste kiss. I know it should end there, but I deepen the kiss anyway, a statement to all the men that were checking her out a moment ago that she is mine.
All right, lover boy, why don't you just pee on her, Charlie says, disgusted with my display.
Fuck off, I tell him affectionately. Quinn laughs at us.
Wow, I like you guys already. Quinn, this is Max. Max, meet Quinn,
Monica says with a smile. Quinn is very attractive, with red hair, fair skin, and cinnamon-colored freckles covering every inch of exposed skin. I know instantly that Charlie is going to be all over her tonight. In the flesh, I joke as I shake her hand.
I see that you are, in fact, 100% real, and even hotter than your pictures,
she smiles saucily. I look at Monica.
Pictures?
She blushes and turns to greet Charlie, dodging my question.
Hi, Charlie. Nice to see you again.
I'll have to see what kind of pictures she has of me later. Charlie muscles his way in front of me and picks Monica up in a giant bear hug as if she is his long-lost friend. She laughs as he spins her around.
All right, that's enough,
I say when the hug lingers longer than necessary. He winks at me and puts her down.
Charlie, meet my friend Quinn.
Quinn blatantly checks him out and whistles.
Hi, Charlie. It's very nice to meet you.
Yes, it is.
He shakes her hand while flashing his dimples at her.
Let's find a table so we can all sit, Monica suggests.
We make our way to an empty booth in the back of the room where it's a bit quieter, and Monica sits next to me, leaving Charlie to sit next to Quinn. A server comes up and we order some drinks and nachos to share. So, I look at Monica and smile.
So,
she says, smiling back at me. We've started so many of our dates with this very eloquent beginning.
Max told me I was not allowed to hit on you tonight, Quinn, and I'm just saying right now that's going to be impossible,
Charlie blurts out. I sigh and shake my head. This guy. Quinn looks at me and tisks.
Why did you want to spoil my fun?
Well, I'll tell you why. I narrow my eyes at Charlie. My best friend is allergic to the word relationship. Most girls want one of those. Besides, I don't even know if you're married or single.
What a coincidence. I hate the word relationship, too, and I am, in fact, divorced.
She smiles widely at Charlie. He looks over at me, pointedly. Excellent. I need to change the subject. So, how was dinner? I ask them.
It was delicious, Monica tells me.
I was telling Monica to talk you into getting a Prince Albert, Quinn says. Charlie meets my eyes and starts to laugh. He has his dick pierced, but it's called something different. Something. Monica turns bright red and leans into me.
Wow, I say to her. You were right about her having no filter.
Filters are no fun, Quinn states. I'd rather just say what I mean.
Charlie scoots closer to Quinn.
I agree completely. What's the point of acting polite if it's just an act? With me, what you see is what you get.
I like what I see, Quinn tells him with a wink.
Likewise.
Charlie chuckles and puts his arm around her, pulling her close.
What were you saying about a Prince Albert?
Just that I got to play with one recently, and it was amazing,
Quinn reports matter-of-factly.
Really? Would you like to play with a different kind of piercing?
Charlie asks her meaningfully. She looks up at him, eyebrows raised.
You have one?
He nods.
I have an Apadravia. It's slightly different than a Prince Albert, and I'd be inclined to say it's better,
he tells Quinn, a seductive grin on his face. Quinn's eyes widen.
Fuck yes, I want to play with it.
They are staring into each other's eyes, and I can practically see the sexual energy bouncing between them. Monica groans and covers her eyes.
I did not need to know that about you, Charlie.
Charlie, please keep your dick in your pants, I tell him sternly. I can just imagine him whipping it out right now.
Don't worry, Max. I won't show Monica what she's missing.
He smirks. Monica leans in to whisper in my ear.
I'm not missing anything.
I smile down at her and give her a sexy grin. Those beautiful hazel eyes suck me into their depths, and I lean down to kiss her lips. Once, twice. The third one turns into a deeper kiss, and then I remember we're at a table with our friends and pull away. When I look back up, Charlie and Quinn are kissing, rather passionately. I look back at Monica and shake my head.
I'm sorry in advance.
Me too, she says. Quinn is a bit much, but she's my oldest friend. Honestly, I think Quinn and Charlie would make a cute couple, but Quinn is anti-relationship since her divorce.
As long as she isn't counting on Charlie being relationship material. I love him, but he's just not a relationship guy.
Monica chuckles.
I don't think we'll have to worry about them.
Quinn and Charlie stop kissing when they realize we are staring at them. Charlie sees the look I'm giving him and flips me off.
Dude, come on! He starts ticking off points on his fingers. She's hot. She doesn't want a relationship, and she likes piercings. I only have so much willpower, I don't even want to fight it anymore.
He throws up his hands. We all laugh at his honesty.
Okay, everybody, I need to play with an Apadravia.
Quinn picks up her purse and pulls Charlie out of the booth with her.
You're coming with me,
she instructs.
Yes, ma'am.
Max, I'm so glad I got to meet you. Give Monica lots of orgasms. You hear? She works too hard.
She leans over to give me a half hug.
Oh, and when you meet her father, just ignore everything he has to say. He's a condescending asshole.
Okay, thanks for the tip.
I return her hug. Nice to meet you, Quinn. Charlie, I drove you here.
No worries, hot stuff. He's coming with me. We'll figure the rest out later,
Quinn reassures me.
Later, Max. Later, Monica.
Charlie waves goodbye and follows Quinn out of the bar. Monica and I look at each other and bust up laughing.
Well, that was interesting. I think Quinn is the female version of Charlie, I tell her.
You are exactly right, Monica agrees.
You ready to go home? I want to take her to bed.
Yes. Will you come to my house?
I was kind of hoping you would say that.
Chapter 15. They can't keep their hands off each other. Monica. The morning of the fundraiser starts in the best way, consciousness filtering in slowly as I fight to hold on to sleep. First, I feel extraordinarily hot. Then, I notice that the warmth is radiating from the hard body behind me. I burrow in deeper, wanting to stay buried in the cocoon of slumber. Then I sense the arm wrapped around my waist and hand on one breast, my naked breast. Am I? I take stock of the feel of my covers and Max's body, then remember that I am, in fact, completely naked. I'm lying on my side, with my right arm under my pillow, my legs tangled with Max's, and my left arm holding Max's hand to my chest. Max's erection is nestled against the crease of my ass. As soon as I'm aware of my nakedness, my nipples start to harden. This prompts the hand holding one of them to investigate, petting and plucking and pulling. Tingles shoot from my nipples to my core, and I arch my back, pushing my butt into Max's groin. His erection jerks against me, and I realize that Max is naked too. I mumble sleepily. My eyes are still closed, but I'm awake now. Good morning, gorgeous, Max says in my ear. His voice is raspy with sleep, and the sexy sound makes me shiver. He lays a wet kiss on my shoulder, stubble scratching my skin ever so pleasantly. I squirm against him, arousal waking up all of my nerve endings. Max shifts our position, pulling me to lie down on my back as he settles over me. My legs fall apart, and he blankets my body with his, pinning me with his weight. His hands smooth my hair, wild from sleep, then pet my arms, caress my hips, and pull my legs wider to accommodate his hips in between them. He's touching me everywhere with soothing caresses, and I feel like this could be a dream. Our bodies start to move together, rubbing, writhing, seeking more friction. His cock is rock hard and so hot, I feel it like a brand. As his hips circle, his cock falls into place right at my entrance. Yes, I want him inside of me. I'm expecting him to push in, but he holds still. I open my eyes to find him staring down at me with so much longing. He looks at me, but it's more than that. It's like he's really seeing me. He sees all the different sides of me, the parts I'm ashamed of, the parts I don't want anyone else to see. And he wants me. His hands touch my face. Then he pulls my arms up over my head and links his fingers with mine. I'm caught up in him, in his tender touches, in his face, open and honest with the intensity of his desire. It's at this very moment that I know, without a doubt, that I am in love with Max Spencer. I see him too, and I want him. Leaning up, I brush my lips against his. Our kiss is tender, languid strokes of tongues and lips. I link my legs around his waist and cant my hips up in invitation. I need him inside me. He pulls back from our kiss to regain eye contact as he slowly pushes in. He watches my face as I groan in pleasure, watches what he does to me as he fills me up, again and again, slow and deep, tender and unhurried. This time it doesn't feel like we're fucking. This time it feels like we're making love. When I can no longer keep my eyes open, I kiss him again, pouring my feelings into this kiss. I feel so connected to him. Our hands linked, our mouths fused, him inside me. Sex has never been like this for me before. My orgasm surprises me when it hits. I gasp, shocked at the blinding pleasure that makes my muscles seize up and tremble. He follows me into bliss, thrusting deep inside and groaning with the force of his release. We rock together, slowly, chasing the last flutters of pleasure. When I'm afraid he's going to pull out, I link my feet together behind his ass, keeping him locked in the circle of my legs. He kisses my lips, my eyes, my cheeks, my neck, and I feel so cherished. Max. He opens his eyes to look at me. I love you, I whisper before I lose my courage. His eyes widen. What? He asks, face blank. Shit. Maybe this was not the time to tell him. I was so sure he felt the same with the emotions written all over his face just moments ago, but his face is now unreadable. My stomach drops, and I feel so exposed all of a sudden. He's still inside me, and though I wanted him to stay inside me forever, it now feels like too much. There's no place to hide. I unhook my legs from around him and look down, afraid of his response. Hey, don't do that. He kisses me gently. I just want to hear you say it louder. My eyes fly back to his, and I see the hint of a smile on his lips. Relief floods my system. I study his face, trying to gauge what he's thinking right now. He nods, reassuring me that it's okay. I gather up my guts, clear my throat, and tell him, I'm in love with you, Max. There. I said it again. A smile steals across his face, and he looks so happy, thank fucking God. You love me? He asks. Yes, I smile back at him. You want me to say it again? Yes, he nods. My smile fades and I touch his face. I love you so much, I tell him sincerely. I love you too, Monica. I don't think anyone has ever been happier than I am at this very moment in time. I'm in love with an amazing man, and he's in love with me too. We lounge lazily in bed, smiling, kissing, and touching, until we're forced to get up to use the bathroom and eat something. Are you excited about the fundraiser tonight? He asks me over breakfast. For the most part, it's such a great event. There will be a silent auction, dinner, and dancing. I am not looking forward to seeing my dad, though. I haven't talked to him since that last conversation I told you about. Did you tell Kevin you are not going to be his date? Max's jaw clenches with this question, a possessive look in his eye. Shit, I've been meaning to talk to him about this. Caleb, I correct the name, trying to come up with the right words. Whatever his name is, did you tell him? He asks warily. I'm sorry, okay? I promise I meant to. When I called to talk to him about it, he had already told Dr. Finley and several other people that he was taking me to the fundraiser, so I felt a bit stuck. Stuck, he repeats, looking at me like I'm crazy. It'll be fine, I promise. It's not like I'm going out on a date with him. Essentially, all it means is we're sitting next to each other at dinner. The seats are already assigned anyway, so even if I told him I wasn't going as his date, I would still have to sit next to him. Plus, I think Tony might be getting suspicious of us. This will throw him off. He sighs, dropping his fork onto his plate with a clatter. Are you kidding me right now? I get up and go to him, standing against his side and wrapping my arm around his shoulder. Hey, look at me. I need to convince him this is nothing. He reluctantly tilts his head up to look at me. I'm yours, Max. This stupid arrangement is meaningless. I promise I won't let it happen again, but it's already done and I don't want to cause a scene in front of coworkers. Do you trust me?
I trust you, Monica. But I don't trust this other guy. I don't trust your dad, and I don't like the idea of watching you sitting next to some other man tonight after the incredible morning we just had. How would you feel if I was set up on a date with some other woman and went through with it?
My stomach sours at the thought, and I grimace. I would hate it.
Exactly. I don't like it either, Max. And I promise I won't give him the wrong idea. At the end of the night, I'll make it crystal clear that I'm not interested. If at any time during the evening he crosses the line, I'll tell him right then.
I won't be able to stand him touching you. He warns, the words coming out like a growl. I don't want him to touch me. I insist.
I hate this.
He looks away from me, clenching his fists.
I don't want to pretend anymore. Can't we just tell everyone already?
Soon, I promise. I just need a bit more time to figure out the best way to approach it.
Soon?
He raises an eyebrow, skeptically. Soon. I agree. I just have to figure out how to avoid losing my job and my reputation in the process. He studies me, eyes searching my face for the truth. My eyes plead with him to give me just a little more time. He nods, pulling me onto his lap for a hug. I squeeze him tight, rubbing his shoulders in reassurance. "Listen, I have to warn you about my father," I start. "He's a bit... what exactly do I want to say here? Controlling? Arrogant? Condescending? Overbearing. Don't worry, I'm a big boy." He meets my eyes with a tender, caring expression and asks, "Does it hurt, going to this thing?" It is the first time anyone has asked me this question. Tears prickle behind my eyes, and all the emotion I try to keep buried comes flying to the surface. I bite my upper lip and swallow down the lump in my throat. When I can no longer keep my eyes open, I blink and the tears overflow. "Baby." He soothes, wiping my tears away with his thumbs. "It's okay to cry." He gathers me close and allows me to lean on him. His strong chest and arms surround me, and I feel so safe. I squeeze him back, grateful for his comfort. "It does hurt," I sniffle. "I miss my mom all the time, but this event shoves it in my face, you know? I hate that I'm a survivor."
"I'm so sorry for your loss," he tells me.
Everyone says that. It's just what you say when someone loses a loved one. But I feel Max's sincerity. His words soothe the hurt just a little. "Thank you," I say softly. Eventually, we pull apart. Standing up, I wipe my face and clear the table. Noticing the time, I realize I need to get going. Well, I need to get to my hair appointment. Yeah, I need to go back to my place to get my clothes and get ready, too. "Do you want to meet me back here to drive together?" I ask him.
"Yes." "Is it okay if Tate rides with us? She has my ticket."
"Of course."
"Hey."
He pulls me away from the sink and leans down to kiss me.
"I love you."
The smile triggered by those words is uncontrollable. "I love you too."
Max. Thoughts of making love to Monica follow me throughout the day. She loves me. She loves me. That revelation made me feel like I was the king of the world. Then I think of her being some other man's date tonight, and my euphoria morphs into bitter jealousy. How can she think this is okay? And if I weren't going to the fundraiser, would she have even told me? Why am I even going to this thing? I count the reasons this is a bad idea. 1, I have to pretend to not be in love with Monica. 2, her asshole father will be there and he will likely hate me. 3, said asshole father arranged a date for my woman with some rich prick. 4, said rich prick doesn't know Monica is mine. 5, I can't cause him bodily harm because we will be at a party with witnesses. I want to be there to support her on a tough night, but this has disaster written all over it. Am I that big of a glutton for punishment? "Hey, handsome," Tate greets me at her door. "Hey, yourself. You look beautiful." I smile at Tate. "Thanks again for letting me have this ticket."
"No problem. Let me just grab my purse and I'll be ready to go."
She gathers her things and we get in my car. So, I've never been to anything like this before. What do I need to know to prevent making a fool of myself? I ask her honestly as we head over to Monica's house.
"Well, there is going to be a silent auction, but you don't have to enter unless you want to. There will be a table set up listing the items being auctioned off. If you're interested, you fill out a slip of paper, write your bid, and drop it in the box in front of the prize. The highest bidder wins the item, and they will announce it at the end."
But I don't have to bid on anything. I doubt I'll be able to afford anything.
No, I never do.
Okay, that's good.
Other than that, there is dinner, dancing, and schmoozing.
I think I can handle that. I hope I can.
So, do your co-workers know about your relationship yet?
My smile fades. No. In fact, her father arranged for some doctor to be her date tonight, I spit out.
What?
Tate says, shocked.
And Monica's going along with it?
Apparently, by the time her father told her about it, the guy had told several of their co-workers that they were going together. She felt stuck. The explanation sounds weak when I repeat what Monica said to me this morning. Besides, she isn't ready to go public with our relationship at work, so she would have never wanted me to be her date.
Max, I know you, Tate says seriously. You can't like this hiding business.
I sigh. No, I hate it. I hate all of it, but what am I supposed to do? She doesn't feel comfortable yet. Unless I give her an ultimatum, I can't force her. A shrug.
Well, there are usually a bunch of people from the hospital there. Monica's dad, also Dr. Morgan, is a huge contributor to the fundraiser. I've only been to this event twice before, but each time he has made a speech about surviving the loss of his wife.
My fists clench around the steering wheel at the mention of Monica's dad. My phone rings from where it sits in the center console. Tate picks it up when she sees Monica's name flashing in on the screen.
Do you want me to answer it? She asks.
Yes, thank you. We're only 15 minutes away from her house. I wonder why she's calling.
Hey, Monica, this is Tate. We're almost to your house. Max is driving, so he asked me to answer when we saw it was you. Everything okay?
She pauses to listen to what Monica is saying.
I see.
Tate glances at me.
Okay, I'll tell him. We'll see you there.
She hangs up. What was that? I ask her.
Change of plans. Monica said she'll meet us at the fundraiser.
How is she getting there?
I think that guy was there to pick her up. She didn't go into details,
Tate says gently. My mood sours even further. Of course her date would pick her up. I'm trying my best to keep my temper in check, but I feel like a caveman. I want to go to her house and beat the shit out of this guy for having the audacity to pick up my woman. I force myself to breathe in and out slowly.
Do you trust that Monica has no interest in this man?
Tate asks, treading carefully into this dangerous topic. I don't believe she's interested in him. I just wish she would tell him that because there's no way he's not interested in her. The thought of some smarmy asshole trying to take her away from me fuels my jealousy.
Honestly, this situation sucks. It would be hard enough for me to pretend I wasn't dating Logan, let alone watch him on a date with someone else. So, if you want to ditch this thing, we totally can. We can grab some dinner and go to the gym to burn off some of this bad energy. But, I have seen the two of you together, Max, and Monica looks at you with stars in her eyes. I think she's just in a prickly position at work and doesn't know how to navigate it.
The thought of bailing is so appealing. But then I won't be there to keep an eye on her and make sure this asshole doesn't try anything. I also want to be there in case Monica gets upset. I sigh heavily. I still want to go. I just hate this situation. Will you make sure I don't do anything stupid? Tate laughs.
I'll try.
We catch up on small talk as we drive to the grand ballroom. We arrive, park, and make our way inside. There is an attendant at the door taking tickets and directing everyone to what table they should sit at. As we make our way to the table, I scan the room for Monica, but don't see her anywhere. The grand ballroom is, in fact, quite grand. Chandeliers hang from the ceiling over the center of a dance floor surrounded by tables, artfully decorated with flowers and candles. There is a band playing soft music as everyone enters the room and gets settled. Each table sits 8 people, and Tate and I are at a table with Simone, the director of Safe Zone, and her husband. After saying hi to Simone, meeting her husband, whose name I promptly forget, and making introductions with the other people sitting at our table, whose names I also promptly forget, I excuse myself to get a drink. As I take a few sips, I lean against the bar and search for Monica again. Anxiety creeps into my system, and I need to know she's okay. My eyes land on her familiar profile about 20 feet away, and I take a moment to admire how incredible she looks tonight. Her gown is long, hiding her feet. The collar is black, but as she moves, the light catches on a silver shimmer that somehow shines through the black, making her look ethereal. It is form-fitting and elegant, with straps connecting behind her neck, showing her delicate collarbones and bare shoulders. Her hair is sleek and twisted in some kind of updo, leaving her neck and shoulders bare. She looks classy and so very sexy. When she turns, I see that the back of the dress dips down low, exposing her back. Fuck. My cock twitches at the sight. It should be illegal. She's talking to two men with a pinched look on her face. I assume the older man across from her is her father. He has silver peppered throughout his dark brown hair, a formidable brow line, and a smarmy mustache. The man standing next to her is maybe in his mid-30s, slim build, blonde hair, blue eyes, and model perfect in his custom-fitted designer tuxedo. His eyes are fixed on Monica, and if I had any doubt about his intentions before, now I know for sure that he wants her. He follows every shift of her body with his eyes. I hate him on sight. I hate the fact that he must be wealthy. I really hate the fact that her father wants them to be together, and I definitely hate that if I didn't know any better, I might think they make a nice-looking couple. They match in money, job, and class. I don't want him anywhere near Monica. Fuck. Jealousy is not a pleasant emotion. Forcing a calm I don't feel, I unclench my fists, get a glass of water for Tate, and bring it to her. Hey, I need your help, I tell Tate. Can you come with me and be a buffer?
Did you find her?
She asks. I nod my head in Monica's direction, and she sees them too.
Do you think it's a good idea to go over there?
Probably not, but I can't help myself. She looks upset, and I have to go over there.
Monica is a big girl, Max. I'm sure she can handle her dad and that guy by herself.
Just come over there with me, will you? I'm crawling out of my skin trying to stay away from her. She sighs.
Let's go, lover boy.
Monica sees us approach, and relief shows in her eyes, followed by worry. I'd guess she's worried I'm going to make a scene, but I won't. As we walk up to the trio, I choose to stand between Monica and the designer douchebag. Stepping closer to her than I probably should, I smile down at her. My fingers itch to touch her. But I know I can't do that.
Max, Tate, hi, Monica greets. Dad, Caleb, let me introduce you. This is Max Spencer and Tate Sullivan.
Peter Morgan, nice to meet you.
Her father leans forward to shake my hand, and I stand tall, meet his eyes, and shake his hand firmly.
Caleb Anderson,
says the douchebag as he reaches forward to shake my hand. I squeeze harder than necessary for an introduction to a stranger, but I can't help myself. He may have more money than I do, but I'm satisfied to see that I am taller by about 5 inches, and I outweigh him by 40 pounds. Physically, he is no threat to me.
How do you two know Monica? Her father asks.
Obviously, responding with, I'm in love with her, is not an option here. I swallow hard.
We worked together in the ER.
Technically, this is true.
Really?
Asks Caleb, studying my face.
I just received an updated directory, and I don't remember seeing you in the pictured staff physicians.
Why would he assume I'm a physician? There are so many different employees that work in the ER. Triage staff, phlebotomists, radiology technicians, nurses, EMTs, paramedics.
That's because I'm not a physician, I say easily.
I refuse to be insecure about my job.
Oh? What do you do?
Her father asks. He stands with an aura of authority and looks down his nose at me. I am not insecure about my job, I chant to myself.
I'm a nurse.
There, let's see what he does with that. I hold his gaze, refusing to cower.
And I'm a social worker at Safe Zone,
Tate chimes in.
I see,
says her father dismissively. I can tell the moment he decides speaking to me and Tate is not worth his time. He turns toward Caleb and continues a discussion they must have been having before we walked up.
Monica will set up a meeting with the board of directors to discuss your latest research study findings.
I feel Monica stiffen next to me. Dad, Caleb can address this with the board directly.
She looks at me and smiles stiffly. Oh, nonsense. You know the ER will benefit from having Caleb on staff as a consultant, he says condescendingly.
He's completely steamrolling her and speaking on her behalf as the director.
I clench my jaw, unsure how to help. Monica blows out a breath and squares her shoulders.
Dad, please stop. This is a party. Can we leave shop talk for another time? I really don't want to discuss this now. Caleb, remember that I am not responsible for keeping any promises my father makes on my behalf.
The steel in her voice makes me proud. Caleb smiles and holds up his hands, placating her. No worries, Monica. We can have lunch this week and discuss it further.
His eyes skim down her body, not quite taking no for an answer.
Fucking douchebag.
I involuntarily inch closer to Monica, and he notices. His eyes narrow at me.
Monica crosses her arms, and she glares at him.
I'm afraid you'll have to take it up with Dr. Finley yourself.
I almost can't contain my smile, but I feign disinterest. Soft music is playing in the background, and the DJ announces that we should all be seated for dinner. Reluctantly, I leave Monica and make my way to my table with Tate.
Sheesh. Those two are so snobby. Monica is nothing.